Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Minister. We're talking about the cross this week and what it means to stay on the cross or come down from the cross. And so we're going to continue to talk about that a little more and what this death on the cross means. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to reveal to all of us more in depth of what it means to die to self, to crucify self, and to stay on the cross. Father, I praise you and thank you for this death that we die each day as we progress along in our death to all things so that we can totally live a victorious life. So, Father, as the word goes out today, I ask you to bless it to everyone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, and amen. Now then, you might ask the question, since we've been talking about dying and die to sin and live unto righteousness, you might think that if a person is already dead, can he be any more dead? Well, most people would say no. In other words, in the natural world of the animal or vegetable kingdom, this could not apply. But in a spiritual life, death to the life of nature and of self does seem to be somewhat progressive. Growth in the life of the spirit is gained at the expense of the flesh or the soulish life. Now, the life in the spirit is entered by crisis, a crisis of death to self and resurrection, but is continued as a process in which there is an ever-deepening experience of union with Christ's death. We hear very little about a crisis of death to self and the world as a prerequisite to entering the life of the Spirit. We hear a great deal about how simple it is to be saved or to be filled with the Holy Ghost if you're in the right circles. There is an element of truth in this, but it is only one-sided. It is easy when we have faced up to our cross and given the consent of the will to die. Each deeper death results in a more glorious resurrection. As far as I know, Jesus never withheld the cost of this discipleship from anyone. In fact, he exhorted people to count the cost. You remember that he insisted on this in Luke 14. Now, I know that he is requesting that you consider the cost to come into his kingdom, because many people do not ever count the cost. And let me tell you, to serve God, if you serve him and get into a realm of the gifts of the Spirit, it most definitely has a tremendous cost. So you need to really get into the Word of God and realize that if you're going to do something for Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. So just get used to it. It's just going to be a way of life. But the consequences are well worth it. Absolutely well worth it. Now then, if I were to ask you a question, what was the first word of the gospel? What would you say? I mean, most people would say, well, be saved, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But I'm going to tell you that the first word of the gospel is repent. Repent. In other words, if you were to ask several people what they thought was the first word of the gospel, I just wonder how many of them would tell you that the first word of the gospel is repent. But I'm going to tell you, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13. Now, it was Jesus who explained that there was joy among the angels when a sinner repents. Isn't that what he said? Repentance was the first word of the gospel as spoken by John the Baptist. Repent. I can just hear John out there on those hills now. I mean, down at the river. Repent. And I can just hear him when he talks to the scribes and Pharisees. I can just hear him. In fact, I saw the Gospel of John the other day, and I thought, how, that was such a good movie. If you haven't seen that, you need to go see that or buy the video, The Gospel of John. It's very good. But I could see, as John the Baptist was standing on the side of the river there, he said, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, repentance was the very first words of the apostles on the day of Pentecost during Peter's sermon, when the multitude said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's first reply to this was repent, over there in Acts chapter 2. Now then, what does the Bible mean by the term repentance? Perhaps the best known definition of repentance is we turn around and go the other direction. That sounds very simple, but it may not be as easy as it sounds. For repentance involves, first of all, a conviction of sin. In Acts chapter 2, whilst Peter was preaching the word, it says that they were pricked in their hearts. Real conviction of sin brings a sense of condemnation. The convicted sinner feels that he is under God's judgment and that he is in danger of hell fire or eternal punishment. Real conviction of sin is followed by godly sorrow for sin, confession of sin, forsaking of sin, and restitution for sin. Now, if someone hears you preach a message and they come down and they do not have any tears, they're not sorry for their sins, they just come down and say, "Oh, by the way, I've decided I want to make Jesus Lord of my life today. I want to walk in this power you walk in." Forget it. There's nothing there. They had no real conviction of sin. They didn't have any godly sorrow for their sin. They didn't have any confession. They didn't have any forsaking or restitution for their sin. So those people at that point did not come to know the real Savior. Now, restitution means making things right, as far as possible, the wrongs one has done to the others. That's what it means. Now, if one is not willing to do this, it reflects upon the sincerity and the genuineness of your repentance. It is doubtful if saving faith can be exercised without genuine repentance. I don't believe it can be. Now, when repentance is full and complete, faith for forgiveness and salvation comes easily and almost automatically. Now, I realize that not everyone believes this, but I believe that there is also a preparation to receive the life of the Spirit. That is sometimes called consecration or commitment. In other words, in earlier times, it was called a death. Death to all the life of nature and of self. Now then, I believe that a person must be walking in obedience to God's word before he can literally be filled with the Holy Ghost, really, and walk in power with God. I don't believe God will share his power with a person that does not really mean business with his salvation and is not going to use it for the glory of God. Now then, you may get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You may even have the evidence of speaking in tongues or prophesying. But if you're not willing to die to self and stay on the cross, I don't believe God will use you mightily for his kingdom. In other words, to enter the life of the Spirit, I believe you must become sick enough of this old self life really to die. Now, it is true that Christ has already done everything for us by what he did on the cross, because when he said it is finished, it is true that he paid it all. But the cross is not only substitutionary, it is also representative. Initial life in Christ is entered by a death route, and that is not easy. Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Now, the life in the Spirit, sometimes called sanctification, is also entered by the death route. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. That is, to live a life of holiness, as suggested in verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Now, I don't believe that the average Christian, when they read those verses, they really believe what those verses say. They don't mean what they say. Because I believe, as I read those, too many Christians will absolutely tell you that it's impossible for you to live a life without sin. I'm going to read a little bit of this in Romans chapter 5 and 6. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then I'm going to step over to the next page in Romans 6, starting with verse 1, for Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Isn't that amazing? Over and over, as Paul, the further you get down in chapter 6 and 7, the more you realize that we as Christians are absolutely not to sin. We are to die to it. So it is a progressive thing. You die to sin daily. You get up on the cross, you stay there, and you live unto righteousness. And as you do that, that's where your victory is, and that's where your power with God is. So whatever you do, walk holy before God. Praise the Lord. I invite you to call me at 940-242-2106 for free teaching tapes, audio and video tapes. We'll be happy to send you a box of two or three video tapes and a half a dozen audio tapes about our different teachings if you'll just call us. Or you can go to our website if you'd like to listen to these teachings again. We have started putting all of our teachings, our radio shows all across the country. We're putting them on our website now. And from anywhere in the country, you can go to www.tlsm.org. And there you can go to the free section and you can listen to our radio shows. And we're slowly but surely getting some of our audio and video, or actually audio tapes on there, so you can listen to them too. So praise the Lord Jesus.